This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I need to belong to someone. It hurts to be known as no one will ever, some sweet girl, bring love into my world. 'Cause I need to belong to someone. I wanna be kissed and held tight, want to be missed on a cold, lonely night. Somebody hear my plea and call out to me, 'cause I need to belong to someone. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. No one cares for me. I've never known sympathy. I hide my needs from the world with a smile, but understand I'm only a man, and a man
belongs,
yes he does,
to someone.
A man hates to be known as no one will ever, some sweet girl, bring love into my world. 'Cause I need to belong to someone. Oh, I hide my needs from the world with a smile, but understand I'm only a man, and a man needs to belong to someone. A man hates to be known as no one. Oh, send me a girl to bring love into my world, 'cause I need to belong to someone.
Need to belong to someone.
Well, I wanna belong to somebody just like you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, thank you, and nice day out there again. I know it's raining, but it could be falling snowflakes. So anyway, and speaking of rain, we're going to be talking about water, and the question is the cup or the glass half full or half empty? Well, you know me, I'm crass and kind of a to the point, and I would say that won't matter today. It's not what's if it's half full or half empty. Actually, what is in the glass, whether it's half empty or half full. And we're going to be talking in depth about the Red Hill fuel facility and why you as a citizen or anyone should be worried about this. And I take the liberty of saying you should be. You may not want to be worried and don't give a darn, and that's okay too. But for those of you that of the same ilk that I am, thinking, I would just like to know where the raindrops come from and where they're going and if I'm going to consume them. And so, I know that we're drinking fossilized water because over the years we're extracting water and that have percolated down, and I know all of that. But with this fuel facility, there's some very interesting aspects that you if nothing else, it's a good lesson about government and its shortcomings and the honesty and the transparency or lack thereof or what have you. All in the interest of building a huge force, and I'm a beneficiary of a free nation, so to speak. We have the big guns, the big ships, and they have to be fueled. And I know some of you may take shots at that and say, well, you know, what do you want? Can't have it both ways. I think you can. You may not have it both ways, but you can darn sure have the better of all things. And that is this fuel facility. I want to go back a little bit, and I've known about this for some while, but getting the people to speak up, because it had some military secrecy, or it was rated a top secret or secret facility, however you want to class it, and I understand that, and we need to have secrets when we do have enemies. But in this situation, when I took an interest and started to overtly look at this and inquire, here are some of the interesting things that I got. Well, you know, we really can't talk about it because it's a facility that has military concerns and secrets and blah, 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 blah. And we can't really release the documents because we want to. We're working with the Navy to coordinate to make sure that we, when we do release something, this is being the State Health Department, when we do release something, we have to be careful, and we want to make sure that whatever we release and they release, we want to be on the same page so that when you receive it, we're saying the same thing. Now, I don't know about you, but my antennae goes up when I hear that kind of behavior. And so we go back a bit, and I'm listening to this rhetoric about the secrecy and the confidentiality and the national security and what have you. And I say to myself, that's interesting. I can go on the Internet and find the Navy League give tours to anybody that want to come along, and the Navy League being a nonprofit. And I see Mr. Bob McDermott, he's affiliated with that, and he's there at the Navy League, and they're talking about giving tours, and there's pictures of them inside. And you pick up or just look to see any contractors, piping companies. They talk about the Red Hill fuel facility and the pipes associated with it. So I'm thinking to myself, where is the secret? Does it only become a secret when the people like myself start to inquire as to what about the impacts of it? And so I think based on secrecy and based on the confidentiality and the nation's security, we have painted ourselves on a corner, so to speak. And I know I'm probably, my take on it is much more drastic than the casual approach that don't worry about it, it's not that bad. But this facility with 20 tanks underground, a major development and a feat accomplished by engineers. Those 20 tanks, they estimate some 2,500,000. I'm sorry, more than that, 250 million. Boy, I got that wrong. So gallons at any given time that was stored there. But they also know the leaks were leaking, the tanks were leaking, but they never really had any real specific ways of telling what was leaking. So if you had a leak for a gallon a minute, a little puka in a hole in the tank that was leaking a gallon a minute, you would end up in 90 days with approximately 130,000 gallons of fuel oil leaked out of that tank. So you figure how many days you have in a year. Well, we know that based on many of the monitoring wells that have been in place there now, we know that this material has leaked, but they can't, quote, quantify it. And so that's the problem. What the unknown exists up there at a higher elevation. And what the problem is that there is a very valuable and irreplaceable water system that is there. And let me tell you, this is where the show begins. The efforts on the part of our government, both state and federal, understand now, I'm going to share with you a press release, and I've asked questions of the health department, and they in turn called me late Friday to ensure me that they weren't brushing me off, and that they would in fact get me copies, get me answers to my questions, and I can understand that. But I want to share something with you. When we listen to the health department and when we listen to this press release, we'll learn and know that, number one, the state health department doesn't really conduct any testing of the waters that they're assuring you that it is safe. They're not conducting those tests. They haven't conducted any tests in that area since 2010. This is what I'm told directly by the health department. So, if they're not, and they then inform me they are training the Navy personnel to do this testing. And then you hear the monitoring wells that exist, and then there's the drinking well and the water source that they are right before it goes into your faucet, let's say, so to speak. There's a well that they tested, and they assure us that the quote now. And understand, listen to this, the levels that are there does not exceed the DOH, Department of Health, environmental action levels. And listen carefully to that. They're not saying there's not contaminants in the water from the fuel tanks. They're saying the levels do not exceed. And in fact, their situation, as they described it, was, quote, very low. And I guess I want to share this press release. This one came out in February this year, 5th of 2014. And captions are, low levels of lead and other chemicals detected in Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam water system. Findings do not represent health threat. Honolulu, the Hawaii State Department of Health, DOH, is notifying the public that very low levels of lead and other chemicals have been detected in the Joint Base Harbor Hickam water system. Whatever that means. Okay, you see how loosely worded that is? If you read the reports, and they don't refer to it so carelessly and loosely. They're giving specifics. The levels of lead found are within federal and state compliance levels for drinking water and a water distribution center, a system, below the lead, quote, action level, end quote, and do not represent a health threat. Now, you see how they focus on lead, but there are other constituents of concern. 1-methylnaphthalene, 2-methylnaphthalene, naphthalene itself, TPHs, PAHs, and other chemicals, and I'll get into the greater detail. In addition, very low levels. Now, very low levels. That for me, when government uses that, it's like, well, what is very low? Give me the specifics. I think I can read or stop someone on the public bus system and ask them if they could help me interpret it. But this very low. And they start off with the word low. So you grab and it's like them selling you something. It's natural, you know, like natural rich crackers or natural whatever product they're trying to sell you. You know, you automatically lure you in. So low levels. And in addition, low levels of toluene, naphthalene, total petroleum hydrocarbons, as gasoline, TPHG, and focus on TPHG, total petroleum hydrocarbons as diesel, TPHD, as in dog, 1-methyl naphthalene, and 2-methylnaphthalene were discovered during a subsequent search of historical records of groundwater monitoring conducted at the Red Hill Shaft source. The level of toluene was well below the drinking water maximum contaminant level, MCL. The other chemicals, what are the other chemicals? The other chemicals were detected at levels well below DOH environmental action levels, EALs, and do not pose a health threat. Quote, the state is required to notify the public of any new contaminants found in drinking water state systems statewide, even if the findings do not represent a health risk, said Chris Whalen, acting director, deputy director for environmental health. DOH will continue to work with the U.S. Navy to monitor and test the water being served to consumers and ensure that the public health is not compromised. Well, I would submit this. Based on what I'm seeing over and over and over, I would say just a mere fact, the way the DOH functions, the public health is already compromised. We don't have to leave our desk. Just the way in which they handle things, who's elected and who's selected and appointed, we're already compromised. Whether it's fish that are contaminated, they drag their feet on that. Whether it's a ship that comes in from a cruise ship, they are reluctant to tell you unless I get the information and someone leaks it to me, then they want to talk. So public health is already compromised, if you want my opinion. It's just a mere fact that the Department of Health exists in its current status, the way it operates. They never told us. And here is the other part of that story that I tell you about. They say it's secret and they can't give pictures and what have you. They also say that they forgot to inform the public that these contaminants were in the water, even though by mandate, even though it is their purpose, they're called the Safe Drinking Water Branch Division. They don't have to worry about the space shuttle when it returns or the International Space Station. That's not their job. Their job is solely dealing with water and ensuring that it is safe to drink. And part of that is to notify the public. It's not just for them to gather the information. They need, after gathering it, to inform the public whether it is exceeding the levels or not exceeding the levels. That is their responsibility. So how on earth does an entire agency who is tasked with doing this and informing as a critical part of their function forget to notify the public? Well, if we recall back, reflect back, when I broke the story on the epoxy in Ina-Hina area, what was the reason? They forgot. And they use this term, and it's frightening. They use this term that it was a subsequent search of historical records of groundwater monitoring. Let me just say to you, submit to you that yes, they are historical because, but it does not disclose that they had already received the records, the state, and that are they willing to admit that the Navy gives them records? Are they willing to admit that they are training the Navy to sample? And are they willing to admit that through this new aggressive monitoring plan that they have put together since, let's say, 2005, one started in 2008, that after spending all of that money and so many meetings, you had a monitoring program set up to look for leaks and impacts on the groundwater, that you walk away and you forget the reports that they send you? Now, I'm not going to say they're lying. I'll let you figure that out. But you have to understand something, folks. Whether it's Fukushima, I know some of you pronounce it differently, but but that's what they're doing to us all, if you understand, get my drift. But the problem here is that they're so casual and cavalier about handling this information. What are they working for? Is it about producing more records? And then be able to just flippantly write that from a historical search of records we were able to put this together, when in fact it may be historical, but it was also timely. They had the records. There is something really amiss here, folks, when it comes to human health and environmental welfare. There's a big problem. There's a big gap. And I don't believe the degradation of the environment occurs due to the natural causes solely. I see now in this state what is happening. We have people getting orders from someone somewhere that place a greater importance on keeping things quiet than it is to inform the public and let the public make a reasonable decision if you want to drink the water or if you don't want to drink the water, if you want to spend more millions. And one of the things that pops up here is you ask, well, why aren't you able to tell the leaks? Well, it costs too much money to install leak detectors in the tanks. Well, I got a solution for that. Just fire 10 of you. You're useless. You're not doing anything, or you're getting the records, and all you're doing is stacking up paper. I got a solution to that. Why don't we fire you and just go buy some testing and some monitoring? That's fixed. See how easy that is? Because if we got you and no monitoring, and you're creating paperwork, something's wrong here. And then when you can't, as you claim, can't keep up with what is actually going on and how much is leaking and how much is migrating in the plume on the ground in the water table, what good are you? Why do we need to have a Department of Health Safe Drinking Water branch or any other branch that hoards, and I'll describe it as that, get all this information, but then when you go to look at it, they tell you, we're still working on it. Something's wrong here, folks. And then the most critical part is that we forgot to release to inform the public that there's contaminants in the water. And we'll go in greater details with this, because I've sat down and was able to recover thousands of documents and been sorting through them. And I submit this to you. It's okay if, don't take it personal, and I don't. It's okay if you were to simply dismiss this like any other conversation, and just because you hear me say it, I submit to you, it's okay. But for me, as a person who is concerned, I think that the mere fact that they fail to disclose it and it's still cloaked in secrecy, when in fact there is no secrecy. The rest of the world knows we have tanks on the ground. The rest of the world are giving tours. The rest of the world is just walking around and doing their thing and got pictures and all. By the way, I asked for some pictures. Well, you know, that's secret. That's military. We have to clear that with the Navy. Go on the internet and look, and you can see them talking inside of the tunnel. Their contractors talking about pigging the area and what have you. So that's what is troubling about this situation. And Whalen goes on, DOH will continue to work with the Navy, but detection levels are measured in parts per billion. I don't care how they're measured. Just tell me what you did, what the results when you measure them. You understand? So you know when you're being snowed, given a snow job. Well, maybe not, because Snowden gave us a snow job, and there's a blizzard in Russia now with the secrecy. So, action levels and maximum contaminant levels, MCR, are standard sets by the United States Environmental. Oh, and by the way, when we talk about these contaminants, ask yourself or go inquire, does EPA really have any drinking water standards for these contaminants? It's my understanding that they don't. Lead, they do. But then, what levels then are they measuring? Environmental action levels. That's how they're measuring it. And who set the environmental measuring levels? The same agency that forgets to inform you that they have contaminants in the water to notify you as they are required by the Hawaii Revised Statute or the Clean Water Act or the Drinking Water Act, Safe Drinking Water. Same people, same agency. In one case, and I'll get greater details on it, but Take, for example, at one time it was for methyl naphthalene, I think one of those, and I'll read the document for sure. I've made notes on it. It was, they allowed it to get elevated, something like 240 or 247 units or milligrams per liter. And that was the standard. So you could operate it as long as your water didn't show those standards exceeding, it was not a problem. But then come along, the EPA determines that naphthalene is, in fact, carcinogenic and causes cancer. Oops! They go back and say, oh, let's become more stringent. So what I want to say to you is that when you hear the term EALs, and as they refer to in this press release, EALs, are, in my opinion, are just set by, there's Mr. Roger Brewer who sits in the office there, and he decides what the EALs are. So don't get too comfortable when the Department of Health ensure you, a quote, tell you that it's safe and that it's at very low levels. That immediately causes concern. I see we got a number of people wait. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Denise. I'm currently residing in Waianae, but I'm curious as to the false security that people may end up with going from a public water source to maybe bottled water. Water, because it's coming from the same area. You know, we're not getting water brought into Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting them from the water sources that may be in question.
And some of those water systems are located right up there in the area we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's been always been a question as to, is bottled water the solution?
We already know that to keep the bottle out in the sun will stimulate the carcinogens in the plastic. So that coupled with the 11 herbs and spices that have been put in the water system already.
Yeah.
What are we really ingesting?
I guess from an oral standpoint, that's the ingestion that we could do a long two hours on that. Mine right now is the mental, the verbal communication of how it's being communicated to us. What are we digesting in that form? Or, you know, is the government set up to just keep us in the dark and treat us like mushrooms, right?
No, they're keeping themselves in the dark. You said yourself that all you have to do is YouTube it, and it's out there. So, really, who are they lying to?
The thing is, I think in a broader sense, everyone don't have YouTube. So that's why I have the radio show to share with my brothers and sisters that don't have YouTube or Instagram.
I'm talking about the powers that are saying that things are top secret when that top secret information is on the internet. YouTube.
I guess we give them a lot of credit for being smarter, but who knows in this situation. But anyway, thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
All right, aloha. Good morning, caller. You have Marcia, is that you?
Good morning.
Yeah, yes. Good morning. You have a comment on this?
Oh, yes. Many, many years ago, the way I met POCA, and for those of you that listen have a long memory, it was the exact same thing with the chemical weapons moved from Germany to Johnson Island. And it was the same thing. The health department did not notify anybody that it was happening. The feds had scheduled a hearing. The health department didn't notify anybody. They did not have they had one copy of the EIS. It was the same story. You just changed the water to to the chemical weapons. It was exactly the same thing. We went through the same thing with getting records. Exactly. This is a long history of the health department not notifying the public. I don't know where, but it's culture. It is built in. At that time, Dr. Bruce Anderson was head of the department. That was my first experience with exactly the same thing you are going through now. I'm sure that was not the first time, because this leak, as you have shown us, began, goes back as far as 1943. So that there is this culture of cover-up. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure you have listeners that can call in and say, hey, I remember such and such, and I remember such and such.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one friend of mine who is a plumbing contractor told me about before they closed up the Salt Lake, how the oil used to float on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you... Whew.
Yeah. Well,
I guess this is overwhelming is what I'm...
Oh, it's
that's why I'm huffing and puffing, because it's overwhelming.
This one is very simple. I can tell you the records, if finally getting them to release the records. This one is a simple process. Take, for example, they say, in addition, very low levels of toluene, naphthalene, petroleum, hydrocarbons. This is a press release issued by the State Health Department. TPHG, total pol, TPHD, and methyl naphthalene in 2 and 1. Now, just to give you an example, this is there, and we got to be careful, because, see, I judge a person by their truthfulness, by how many tours they take me on to get from A to B in a conversation. Just give me the straight points and let me digest it myself. Well, here's the example. So they say in very low levels, but just from the reports that were submitted in August 2007, now this is the July 2009 report, but it's citing back, August 2007, 1 and 2 methyl naphthalenes were detected at 121.5 UGLs or milligrams per liter or grams milliliters, 103 UGL, and 87.5 respectfully in well RHM2WO2. Now, I must say to you, when they say the joint Pearl Harbor Hickam water system, I'm asking, does that include the monitoring wells? Or does that just, are you just want us to be like cows and stick our heads to the fence and see only one well, and that's the 2241, I'll get the number exactly.
Yes.
But,
well, my question then to you, if this is, and I'm, you know, based on all of your findings, they've known about this, then why did they allow Kaiser to build a hospital over top of this? Why did they allow all the new housing at Ala'imanu over top of this when they knew what was going on? And if they say, and as you have pointed out, that we have within drinking water limits, that's one glass. But we consume how many glasses a day? How many dishes do you wash with that water? How many times do you bathe with that water? This is cumulative. This is not just a one-time drink. Mm-hmm. So what does that do when you, on the cumulative side, and for people that have been on this planet for 60, 70, 80 years or more, what does that do?
Well, it accumulates. And depending on the chemicals, your fatty tissues and your livers, can your livers process it and all of those things? But, you know, that's... But Let me make sure that we all understand, because this is the way the system works. They're like little spiders. They weave this web of lies, and then they wait until some innocent party comes along and wishes to question it. then the attack goes on. So let me qualify something right now so that I don't encourage them to do that. There are a number of wells involved, monitoring wells. And these numbers are RHMW02SO1, RHMW03SO1, and 04. Now, there's a number of monitoring wells now. But there is another well, a monitoring well, and this one is the tricky part where they come in and they tell you these things. They say, okay, well, the U.S. Navy well 2254-01 is the one that we test before it goes into the drinking faucet. Okay? So it's there. We didn't find them to exceed the levels, but it's uphill. These monitoring wells are monitoring the source that 225401 is receiving its water as well. Same water table. So let me just make sure. So when they wrote this press release, it was written in such a fashion they took all kinds of liberties and had a broad berth. You know, it's like parking a boat. Well, down at Pier 38, what's the easiest way to park a boat in Pier 38? Go in and move all the boats that are there anchored down or tied down. Have them to move away, and then you can just come in and do anything you want to. It's that kind of mindset. They say, oh, no, we're not talking about those. We're just talking about this well here, you know. But, in fact, it's from the same aquifer. And these things migrate, and I don't trust anything that is being said about the quantity, the volume, and the levels that have been detected, because we would never know. They don't want to tell us. They forgot. And they're only telling us. And when they told us, if you recall, just recently, I think January, when this thing came about this leak, they presented as, from this leak, it's no problem. Well, of course, it takes 10, 15 years based on the water levels, the drawdowns, and the chemicals, and all of that. But we're probably seeing constituents that were introduced from leaks back in the 60s or the 40s in these wells. So go ahead.
Well, my question then, again, is what effect does it have cumulative on us daily if we do one part? There's some strange word you used that is the same as mothballs.
Naphthalene. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if they outlawed mothballs, why is it in the drinking water?
Well, my reading is that it was, some say it's a natural ingredient I have found in some of the fuel oils. I don't have any documents to say that, but this is what I'm told, and then I read an inference to it. So, but I'm still checking, and that's why I approached Gabbard, as with Mr. Gabbard, Senator Gabbard and others, Chris Lee, Representative Chris Lee, to ask them if they would hold a hearing, because I can't get all the answers, and they're not giving them. And I don't think it's one thing. We all benefited from the wells, the tanks being up there. We walk on their flag that we were afforded some freedoms. So I understand that part. We benefited. But who on this earth would stand by and contaminate an aquifer such as that and be so casual about it? Now, back in 19...
Where is the EPA on all of this?
Well, the EPA is in the tunnel. You see, there's another situation that was developing up there where they were, when they draw down the fuel to check the leaks and what have you, way back, they would generate some waste oil, and they would also wash these tanks down with solvent. And so the EPA slid in and quietly cleaned it up and didn't allow. And this is when the state was transitioning, trying to get authority to enforce it. It was doing that era. I don't know all the particulars, but the EPA, remember, it's an arm of the federal government. the state has learned, the EPA taught them. Go out there and tell the world that if you do this, it could be a $1 billion fine. And if you do that, it's a $1 billion fine. If you contaminate this, it's a $1 billion fine. But right under our nose, we got brownfield. We got all kinds of. They don't force people to clean much up. They will allow you to cap it with cement or concrete or asphalt to keep the rain from leaching out. So the EPA, they don't get my respect in this because they hand the ball off to the state, knowing that there are some technicalities and some concerns that the state won't have access to this information. Or the state has limitations. It's if you look at Wykele, where former Congressman Ed Case, representing Ventura Corporation and Hunt, wrote a letter to the city saying, no, Navy land is sovereign. You don't have any business being here. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all planned. Why would you hand the responsibility to the state as the EPA to monitor and enforce the safe drinking water? And then why would then the party you, the entity that you've given authority to regulate it, turn around and then the state who received authority from the federal government or the EPA, then the state government turns around and hands the responsibility of sampling to the Navy, who was originally supposed to be policed by the EPA. But EPA gave responsibility to the state to police the Navy, and so the Navy then received responsibility to self-police itself by the, and then send these reports in, and then what do we get? An agency at the Safe Drinking Water Branch to say, we forgot, and we don't do samplings. The state allows the feds to do that, the Navy to do that. We can't give you the records because we discovered through historical review of the records. You see, it's that web that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mama, can I go to these movies? I don't know. Ask your daddy. Daddy, can I go? I don't know. You know, so, and the Navy is the child. And so what happens? The Navy gets to do what it wants to do. And not just the Navy. The Marines, the Air Force did it too, right here with the chlordane and the contaminant soil. So that's why in my opening statements I submit that if you feel safe, and I don't know, if you feel safe, then take what I'm saying and blow it off, and no problem. Okay. It's okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The tubes that go from there out to the ocean that carry this stuff. Now, when the rail people were doing their show and tell and about putting the station through Salt Lake, as former City Council Cachola, who is now a representative Cachola, wanted, they showed the tubes, these
mm-hmm.
big pipes that go out to them. Now, my question to you is, when they begin to drill and they hit one of these, will it be too big to fail?
Which would be too big? The train too big to fail, or the what would be too big to fail?
When we are given the bill to pay for this, that we, the taxpayers, get saddled with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they start drilling to put in the pylons that have to go in to support something as heavy as the rail.
Mm-hmm.
When they dig down that deep, what happens?
Well, hopefully there's...
You know they're going to hit one of them.
Well, I think they're... Well, I'm going to say, give them a little bit of respect and say that I think they're a little wiser than that. I'm going to the thing is, I'm not questioning whether we need to have military or anything here. They're here. We benefit from it. It's here. I just believe that we can tolerate all of this without having the lies and the things cloaked in secrecy, and you've, if you're protecting us from the enemy and you're building this massive military machine to protect us from the enemy, why the hell do you poison us? And so what are you protecting? The rocks and the trees? Because if you're going to kill the people through cancers, tumors, and any other illnesses, you asked earlier about what happens with water, depending on the constituents. And I mean, if you have a cocktail of constituents together, I don't know. When you have acetone and toluene and all of that in 1 8-ounce glass of water repeatedly, at least 2 or 3 or 4 times a day, and then not to mention that you cook it, and I don't know what happens when the heat hits it. Does it change its chemical form? I don't know. So that's why I'm appalled that we would be so casual and cavalier about, we forgot to tell you. This is about senior citizens with immune deficiencies, or others, or anyone that's ill, might accelerate. They may have been at the threshold of getting better, but drinking that water, who knows? It could, and lead in children, lead in human beings, it could.
Have you ever tasted the water at Tripler?
No. I've tasted their wine.
No.
No, no.
Don't taste the water. It's awful.
No, I've been told that Tripler's water is, you know.
It's, federal law means that it's, quote, fluoridated. All military installations are fluoridated. But there's something more than, it's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to drink the coffee that's made with that water, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's from an August 2007 report, the Red Hill Fuel Storage Facility Technical Report, page 7, section 7. The facility overlies a very valuable groundwater resource that produces approximately 4.5 to 16 million gallons a day of potable water to the PHWS. And its military consumers via U.S. Navy well 225401. This water resource would be very difficult to replace, considering the present limitation of the sustainable yield of the Pearl Harbor and the Honolulu aquifer sectors. The age of the facility and the mission critical requirements for its storage capacity combine present and present a future risk to the underlying groundwater. The USTs are deferred now. The USTs are deferred from many of the state and federal regulations due to their field constructed nature. A significant rule that they are deferred from is a requirement for release detection. And that's, if you want to go further, HAR, Hawaii, statute, the title, H.A.R. Title 11.
Wow.
Chapter 281, subchapter 5, release detection. For this reason, there's no certified release detection system operating at the facility. So when you have people to say to you as an agency, using the terms very low, the first word out of the mouth, it's low. You don't have to worry. It's low. The reality is a release of JP5 LNAPL, I'm just reading acronyms, to groundwater as small as 16,000 gallons from the facility has the potential to remove the Red Hill sub-basin as a water resource to the PHWS without expensive wellhead treatment. Currently, there is no effective way to quickly determine whether a release is occurring. A chronic release of 1 gallon per minute over a period of 90 days is approximately 30,000 gallons. A release of this size would have a major impact on groundwater resource and may not be detectable until quarterly groundwater samples are collected under the current system. Their recommendations, this company did the study, the Associated Contingency Plan, TEC 2007, should be implemented to ensure proper maintenance and monitoring of the facility occurs to mitigate risk of future releases going undetected. and undetected releases from the facility may result in the loss of groundwater resources within the Red Hills sub-basin between North Halava Valley and Moanalua Valley. So, isn't that amazing? And all they can give you is that we forgot to let you know how the water was. But this is a report that they have in hand 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so if you hear my excitement, this is why I'm a little perturbed by it. And I hope that the listeners out there understand this isn't an annoyed environmentalist talking. This is just a person who sits today is just to say, if your government will lie to you that way and continue to orchestrate, then there's something terribly wrong.
Well, just think. Now, of course, as a layperson and not a scientist, but I am a mother and a grandmother. How many babies are born at Tripler and at Kaiser right there, and their first drink of water on this planet is that stuff? So now we have a cumulative from the moment of birth, mm-hmm. that they are given this stuff. What does that do to their development? Or do they become immune? Or what happens? So, I know you're getting close to the 10 o'clock time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would request that you repeatedly give everybody listening the time and place for the hearing, and we want all of them there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause your listeners are the kind of people that will take action.
Yeah, they won't drink the water, Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be back in the next hour, and we're still going to be talking about government lies in a half-filled glass or half-empty of glass of water.
Cause yeah, well, the hearing time, please.
The hearing, here's an email from Senator Gabbard, chair of the Senate Energy Environment Committee, today announced that Hawaii lawmakers are taking action to protect and inform the public through an informational briefing on the Navy fuel situation and its impacts on our water resources. And before I go, and we got to go on this, please call Chris Lee and Senator Gabbard and thank them, because this was a quick response. You know, we saw it in the newspaper where we say we're going to ask for a hearing, and one phone call was sufficient, and you went down, Marcia, and knocked the doors. The hearing is scheduled March 17th at 1 p.m. March 7th, 2014 at 1 p.m. at the Hawaii State Capitol, room 329, March 7th of this year. At 1 p.m. at the State Capitol, room 329. So we'll be back in the next hour, and please join us. This is the Carol Cox Show. Aloha.
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Whoa, Western Union man, send a telegram to my baby. Send a telegram, send a telegram, whoa, send a telegram to my baby. This is what I want you to say. Want you to tell her that I'm all alone. I tried to call her on the phone. Tell her I'm in misery and think she's avoiding me. And if the telegram don't do, send a box of candy too and maybe some flowers. Tell her that I missed her for hours and hours. Send a telegram, send a telegram. Hurry up, send a telegram, man, to my baby. You hear what I say? Oh, Western Union, man, send a telegram. Oh, send a telegram to my baby. Send a telegram, oh, send a telegram, man, to my baby. This is what I want you to do. Listen, tell me, have you got a boy you can send? Well, this is what I want him to do. Put him on his bike right away. See if he can get my message through. Date it tomorrow, but mail it right away. I want the girl to know that I miss her. Something like yesterday. Send a telegram, send a telegram. Whoa, send a telegram, man, to my baby. Do you hear what I say? Oh, Western Union, man, why don't you send a telegram? What? Send a telegram to my baby. Western Union, man, send a telegram. Oh, send a telegram, send a telegram.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. We were talking about the Red Hill Fuel Facility and our ability to get information or inability to get information from in the Straight Scoop. So earlier before leaving in the first hour, I had alluded to a point of the EPA's involvement. Apparently there was what is called, and it's rather evasive here. I'm trying to grab hold of it. Can't seem to get any straight answers. But there was, and I quote, oily waste disposal facility monitoring facility there. And I'm told, and this is in a formal document from December 2011, executive summary of a quarterly groundwater monitoring report outside non-tunnel wells, Red Hill Buck Fuel Storage Facility, and Joint Base Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. So, Honolulu, Hawaii. So, this oily waste disposal, I'm told, was when any activities, waste oil, or oils that were, when they were cleaning the tanks, this oil went, they had residue, you know, because of the solvents as they scrubbed them down or whatever, I don't know. But the EPA, I'm told, came in the 80s and took care of that quietly. And going back, I asked for records on from the wastewater branch, the clean water branch, in pursuit of this this effort that I have here to try and get some answers. And what I'm finding, the wastewater branch had nothing. Clean Water Branch, they can't seem to find out if, and this is under the Department of Health, they can't seem to determine if my email or request went in and they got it, or they will get it, or they found it. They see some reference to it. Excuse me. And so they don't have anything yet to produce, but there's a question. Is this facility a point source pollution or a non-point source? So there should have been an NPDES permit somewhere, because we know that it would be affecting, impacting the groundwater. So runoff and all of that. So when calling, I ask, is there, well, we don't know if there's one. We're going to have to look. They did put in for one, but we don't know if we gave them one. And, you know, you see, the EPA touts itself as being the god of all gods in the environment. But you can't take that title when you handing the responsibility off to an agency that's not properly funded, has very specific limitations. Like you see that deferred, the rules and what have you, regulations were deferred. The Navy don't have to adhere to those rules because it was built in place. So if the Navy told them to go pound sand tomorrow morning, they would have to do that. So that brings me to another point, and I've often mentioned this. So when our leaders come and legislators come and tell us that they've invited and gotten the military or the Pentagon to agree to cite some military activity here, and it's going to bring in billions and bacon. The only problem with that is that rarely, when they bring in these projects, nobody has the presence of mind or don't care to assign and require that part of the budgeting there be set aside monies so that they can be independently monitored, regulated, and held accountable. But how can you have 250 million gallons of fuel oil there and you know they're leaking? And I recovered a letter from May 12, 1949, the Bechtel Corporation, doing an engineering survey. The Bechtel Corporation, in accordance with the contract, NCY 16535, with the Bureau of Yards and Docks, herewith presents engineering report on the results of a survey of Navy Petroleum Facility in Harbor. And they were talking then about testing leaks, and they knew they had leaks. So imagine, this is in 1949. They were in the early 40s. They installed these. So we are in a quandary. We have a problem here, folks. And I don't think anything short of going in with a regime of serious tests, I don't care how much it costs. Remember, this is our drinking water. You take that out of play, what are we going to do? Or will we be forced to drink this water because we've basically made our beds and now we have to lie in it?
Hello.
Yes, Marcia.
Okay. Now, we have all of these people running for office, three for governor, and then half the city council running for the Congress, as well as those already there. I think it is, not one of that bunch has said one word about this, and it was on the front page of the paper. It's not like it was hidden.
Should we say they're being slick?
Or is this part of that culture of cover-up?
But I
think that every one of them, and I don't mind doing it, should get a letter stating what is going on and where they are, what's their position on this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I have to say, first of all, personally for me, I'm maybe one generation away from the cotton fields, okay? And so I'm evolving into this, and if I could take the liberty and say that many of these guys are a generation, then we're all newly planted here. And we don't have the expertise. Some of these guys, the machine is already in place. And so they get in politics here to learn to get along and to make some money and get out and get the friends fat. But that isn't the question. The culture of corruption it's a systemic institutionalized problem in that when we want to bring our ships in and our planes and our military machines and all of that, we have to pave the way by installing and removing, extracting the EPA or the federal government and putting in people that run the state health department. I mean, look at Gary Gill. Look, how important is it, if you want to know voting for Abercrombie, what is the knowledge of Gary Gill? What is his expertise in running an environmental department? So we start there.
Well, that's exactly what I am saying, that all of these people, including Abercrombie, David Ige, who David Ige is a nice person, a gentle soul, but what does he know? Where does he understand any of this?
Well, that's the root of the problem now. Anytime we face with a problem, we first have, before we speak, we got to determine if the person is nice or not.
I said that just so nobody will call up and say.
Well, let them call, because if they're that narrow-minded to think that a conversation can't be had unless we start to qualify a man's honesty and his integrity, I'm talking about,
But I want to know if he knows any of this, that he has. He's been in the Senate 28 years. Does he know any of this?
Well, that was my next point. Abercrombie appoints, but they also confirm the legislators.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem. Can you hold on one? Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
I was wondering, as far as the oversight, wouldn't it serve this government to have a plan B? If somebody runs and says, I'm going to do this, and this by this particular time, hold them to it. If they don't do it, fire them and put the runner up, that next person in line to do the job. It's the mission. It's there is a protocol to government. There are certain things that need to be done in order to pass a law.
Yeah, well, right now, remember, we might get what we asked for in talking about the culture of things here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember now, we're right now about to make decisions on selecting Colleen Hanabusa or Brian Schatz for a position that Senator Dan Inouye supposedly made on his dying bed a wish to have the governor appoint Colleen Hanabusa. So, first of all, when we start with that kind of thinking, I thought this was a democracy, but I thought when it's okay to respect a person, but in a democracy, when do we start and stop that kind of behavior? If we were to have given to Mr. Senator Dan Inouye's request, supposedly his quote request, what then, where do we turn it off? Who's next? What's next? Then we decide to just appoint a governor?
Well, my question would be, and I don't mean any disrespect to the Inouye family whatsoever, but when this request was made about Colleen Hanabusa, did he know that while she represented the West Side, what she said about the illegal dumping issues were never resolved after telephone poles laid across Farrington Highway after a storm or after the earthquake? She said she'd take care of the poles. after she left, poles fell down anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, she gave a comment that some of the poles, the wooden poles, would remain because unnamed residents thought it was quaint. I'm paraphrasing, but if those things weren't known, if he did make that request, would he then have made them? And she didn't do what she said she was going to do?
Well, you know, did he know that she got a very special discount for her property at Colina? Did he know, you know, and did he know that Waianae has a one-way road in and a one-way
road
out, and then there's a bridge that leads to nowhere that was millions of dollars? Does he know that?
Right.
I don't know. I you know.
So if all of these things, if these things were known, would that request have been made?
Well, I would say, for me personally, it wouldn't matter whether he knew him or not. This is a democracy. You know, I you know, just what we do is we have the right to, the governor can appoint and all, but not based on someone saying, you know, if it was a recommendation, say, look, you know, I think, and it was a discussion, okay, that's tolerable.
Right.
But to say appoint her, pardon me?
Oh, I apologize, please.
What? Would I want to what?
Would you please continue? I apologize.
Oh, okay. No, no. Go ahead. I was. Let me get the other caller here. Hold on.
Certainly.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, just a couple of comments quickly. One of the things I wanted to say is that I think probably a lot of the retired military, especially the officers, get on the staffs and so on, you know, into the positions like the Board of Water Supply and so on. And the Navy League, I think, has a lot to do with this, too. So that we think the EPA, for example, or the Board of Water Supply can be independent. I don't think so. I really believe that the military, especially the retired, have infiltrated in those kinds of positions. Maybe sometimes just as free advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was going to quickly mention is I just came across an article I knew I had. It goes back to the newspaper in 1985 about the Board of Water Supply study. They found 10 separate leaks along a 16-mile pipeline system connecting, Waikakalua to Kipapa store and Kipapa storage facilities in central Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And so 1954, there were 300,000 gallons of aviation fuels that leaked. In 1954, again, 20 more thousand gallons leaked. 1978, 50,000 gallons of jet fuel soaked into the ground. 1954, 20,000 gallons of aviation fluid leaked out of a pipe located under Kipapa stream bed. And there's lots more. I haven't dug through all my stuff to find the rest of them. But
and out in, yeah, you're right. In Mililani, these pipelines went throughout.
And they've been leaking, and so who knows, you know, maybe it'll take 20 years to get into the water table, but it will.
But, and the funny part about it is the agencies that regulate that don't really regulate it because they let the parties that's responsible for leaking police themselves and
then in turn
forget to give you the reports when they do determine it.
And as I said, some of the regulating bodies anyway are now, positions taken over by retired military themselves.
I've said that many
times. Yeah, really. Okay, so that's all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Marcia, or the caller, and we'll let you go there.
Carol is so sharp, and she just keeps everything, and I do applaud her and you for all of the work that you do. She is such a special person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there's something wrong with the system. Is that when we look at it, we say, okay, we're voting for these guys. But, again, like the caller just pointed out, these appointees, people migrate to these, and they have a right to do that as citizens and free citizens, and I'm not going to question their integrity. Many of them will volunteer to provide guidance and whatever. But the reality is, who gets the information and who makes the final decision, you see?
And I think you're right about that. is that if you look at who makes the decisions, on the front page of today's paper, and it shows all the different candidates in the poll, and the article clearly states it's name recognition. It does not say anything about their background. It doesn't say anything like the caller said about Hanabusa and the things she didn't do. That was not in the article. The article clearly states it's name recognition.
And so
all of this stuff nobody knows except those people like your listeners who really stay on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
But name recognition, and the Hanabusa name has always been a gold mine on the Waianae Coast because of her family, and she's traded on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her family has done wonders on the Waianae Coast, and then she has traded on that name because that's not her married name.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fine, but it says a lot about us as people, as mature adults. If we buy into it, you know, if that's what we do, that's what we do. I mean, I talked about Hanabusa many, many times, but also, you know, let's face it, we had Schatz, and the governor, I don't know the adoration he has for the Schatz family. I don't know what the connection is, or if it's Madeleine Albright, or that Schatz is related through marriage, through his brother's marriage. But the point is, nobody's... No one's immune to nonsense in this state. And that is, Schatz's brother was appointed, Stephen Schatz was appointed, elevated in this race to the top thing at the school board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody has the blame. It's not a culture, because it's just a way that the people have woven their ways in into our government. And all of these elements, let me finish, and you can say what you want to say. But what is happening is that we allow this to occur, and then we turn around and say it's a culture. No, it's just what's tolerated here. We as voters have more sense than this. It's just that we then vote for someone and walk away and don't hold the people we voted for accountable. That's all. And as an individual in a community, we could say to one individual, you're out. If you don't do what we see as a proper thing in representing us, you're out. It's that simple. It doesn't take the masses. Each individual enclave or community or district can do that. Go ahead.
Okay. My idea, this is mine. This is politics according to Marcia. What I think happened when the governor appointed Schatz, it was to break the hold that the Inouye Empire had on the state. Because had he appointed Hanabusa, all of his minions would have stayed in place. All of those people, Jennifer Sabaz all the way down, would have stayed in place. And by appointing anybody else, doesn't matter, Schatz, anybody else, it broke the mold. It broke that hold they had.
No, it brought a new game. He installed his own game. Look, let's go back to see who his minions are, who he installed.
That was about. Yeah. I'm not saying that that was a...
I understand, but yes, you're right. And then we're getting off of the subject. But the point is that the behavior of the politicians here, well, we're not going to buy into the Inouye game and vote and appoint who he wanted to. So I'm going to appoint who I want to because I want to build a castle. I want to build a... And
absolutely.
That's the problem, you see. It's the honesty, the lack of integrity amongst our leaders, so-called leaders. That's the problem. They say, well, that's a bad game. His angle was different and bad, unacceptable. But now let me install my minions. Let me install, you know, this is the same governor that some of the most critical things important to all of us as free people is to be able to see what our government is doing. You remember that debacle on the handling of the OIP office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, I can get past the Hanabusa stuff because, see, that didn't happen. So I don't want to focus on Senator Danny Noyes' requests and what supposed requests and all of that. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on what's happening right now. The guy that's in place, Neil Abercrombie, has more questionable practices in 3 years than anybody a man could have put together in 20. HCDA, the PLD, the DC. He suspended the environmental laws here in the state. One after the other, DHHL is just riddled with nonsense and you know, unethical behavior. You just go through it. Look at DLNR. You go through the whole thing, and then he pops up and say, yeah, we got a, what was it, the budget? We have a, I'm sorry, the term he... we have access money now, or surplus. So let me submit this and then we'll move on, because this is the same governor who oversees under his administration. This is the Department of Health that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He appointed the director. He is the one. This is his baby. So... that's what the problem is. We just need to get back to business and say the American way is to hold you accountable. We want transparency. It doesn't matter who makes a request for anything. It's the vote, and we have to follow the process. If the governor can appoint someone, that's his right in this state, and that's it, you know. But back to this water thing, and I was going to get past that, and just I wanted to share another letter on.
Yes, go ahead.
The Red Hill facility, if they don't do anything about it, I don't want to, this is be irresponsible in my comments, but I will say it anyway as reckless. I believe a great many of the cancers and illnesses that we see is associated with our water system, from the agricultural impacts, the heptachlor, and all that. And again, once again, it was, we had oversight, we had regulatory bodies in place, but how is it that we have these contaminants in our soils? We allow these things without any forethought or any concern, and now we have, you know. And just in case, someone shared with me the other day, you know, you go up to Wyava, the the prison system.
Uh-huh.
He said to me, well, listen, just up there they have, what happens to their sewage? They're not connected to the sewer system, I'm told. I'm going to check to see. But, you know, where does their waste go? Into a settling pond and then trickles down into the water table? Isn't that funny?
Well, what about all of those houses that are built over what used to be cane fields?
Yeah. Well,
that,
oh yeah.
That water, that meant what the cane, growing cane for 100 years did to the soil and the water table.
Well, we know that all of that is contaminated. In fact, as I reported, Board of Water Supply took some of their money to, and then to buy the ever, whatever, sump or whatever, the water uh-huh. source there, and from Campbell Estate, and then in turn adopted all of the issues concerned with the environmental impacts there, that the contaminants in that water. So anyway, but this, there is so much, and I'm going to be raising the subject again on the show, because there's just, I wanted to share with the listeners here, we know now that all this is in a joint base facility and all of that, but on July 2009, page 3, report, well, RHMWO2 concentrations of TPH DRO have been greater than HDOH drinking water EAL since September 2005. But if you listen to the report, the press release, they say that in addition, very low levels of toluene, naphthalene, total petroleum, hydrocarbons, as gasoline, TPHG, and TPHD were, you know, very low. But in the report that they have in their hands, the same, quote, historical review goes on to say that it was has been greater than drinking water EAL since September 2005. This was, the report was 2009, so for 4 years. And greater than 50% of the SSRB, the estimated solubility limit. In May 2009, the average TPH DRO concentrations, average of normal and duplicate samples of 1,810 UGLs, was below 50% of the SSRB. The average TPH DRO concentration from the February 2009 sampling event was 2,840, and the October 8th DRO concentration of 5,000 was above the SSRB. This is one site-specific thing. Anyway, I won't get into that. It's the scientific terminology. But what I'm saying is that they have these reports. I got the reports from them, from the health department. So why is it that they forgot? And why is it that after forgetting to let the public know that these contaminants are in there, they then went and wrote a press release to say it was low? Now, wait. How can you forget, you claim you forget to release a notice to the public to say the contaminants were in the water, but then you have a need to write and author a press release, and then you omit that information in the press release? Is that a lie? I don't know.
That is part of the culture of corruption, I guess is the better word for it.
That's why we
say it out loud. Just that's what it is.
Or maybe it's the impact of these chemicals in the water. We become insensitive. we become insensitive and non-caring. I thought human beings are better than that, but apparently, you know.
And what is it doing to the environment in total? You know what. What else is going on? Not just the drinking water, but if it's in the soil and we're growing food in the soil, what else is going on?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we know the environmental impacts. We'll never know them. We know that there's saltwater intrusions and basal layers and what have you. We know all of that. We then take that water, and that water then is turned into sewage. See, this is what's really frightening. You want to know what's down the chain. So we extract it. We put the chemicals in. We then extract it and drink it. Okay? When we drink it, we then put it back in our sewer. And the sewer then goes out to the ocean, right?
Right.
And then, so basically, we're just passing the chemicals on down the river. Now, someone's going to call me up and says, but they break down. Well, they may break down, but with this cocktail, and how long was it to break down? And then we find it in the fatty tissues of the fish that we go and forage for and fish for, and then we turn around and eat it. So it's kind of self-serving, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And
how do we know they break down? Because some of them break down, yes, and then they recombine mm-hmm. at certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the same crap that we hear from them constantly. And it's really sad that we have really sharp scientists that sell out. Well, they take a job with the Navy and then they repeat the Navy line because that's their job.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me try this call here.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I have a question. What's happening with all these leaks? Now, I've heard several leaks were discussed over the years of different types of fuel leaks and things like that. What has the EPA done about them for cleaning them up for one thing, and what's being done as far as fining the military for doing stuff like that? The third question is, can this stuff be filtered out or screened out of the water when it's pumped into our drinking pipes or drinking facilities. Things like Agent Orange, they found out, does not even get evaporated out if you run it through evaporators and things, that it goes through that system and gets more intensified.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can aerate it and put a aerator on the head of the well and what have you, but again, like you say, depending on the contaminants, the constituents, I mean, what is all in there? There's acetone. Some of the reports show acetone that I have recovered. And how do you get lead out? So, I don't know. But in the coming weeks, I'm going to be sorting through more of these documents, and I'll try and just for conversation.
Has anything been done about the leaks in the past? You guys mentioned on the show, 20,000, this many thousands of gallons, this many in this year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything been done about that? Has the EPA been fined? Did anybody try to clean it up? Get stopped for sure.
Haven't seen any fines, haven't seen any specific documents to say that. All they're talking about is monitoring, basically. Now, they say they're right now trying to do electrophoresis or some program where they can test the integrity of the wells, of the tanks. But again, I haven't found anything that state we are doing this, and we have done that specifically as violations and as fines or patching up holes. They've been patching up holes, and they've bored for monitoring wells. But they're just telling us that the storm is coming. They haven't said how they're going to stop the storm.
I mean, this is drinking water. This is one of the most serious problems we have on this island.
I hope you get that in my voice. This is not just a normal, I think the snail's going to crawl up the mountain if you don't interfere with them. No, this is going driven right at home.
Right. I don't know how we make these people accountable, but I sure hope you can make a big issue out of this because it deserves it. I don't know if you can get any of the other newspapers that report on this, or any community organizations or something involved, Bishop of State, anybody that's got some big power or stuff. This is big, serious stuff, and need to get a lot of people behind this and
yeah.
Stop this stuff, you know?
Well, if we need immediate study to, not study, but to get in there and sample and be more specific, and because this is basalt, the area in there that the bed of rock is, so it's quite porous, but then I believe that they've just been neglecting to really report and do a more rigid sampling. And so hopefully from this hearing, let me make sure I let you guys know, Friday, March 7th this year at 1 p.m. at the state capitol, 329, room 329, Senator Gabbard and Chris Lee and the other legislators are going to hold a hearing, an information briefing. And from that, maybe all parties get involved and call in, and it's important. And we need to know what the Board of Water Supply is detecting in their water.
Right. Well, yeah. It sounds like one of the first things that people that are listening can do that are concerned is contact their legislators and make sure that meeting is attended and aware of by a lot of other legislators.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And this is a good start. I think I'll be asking, and I think the legislators will find need to, a cause to have more hearings to continue this, and a task force to really go at it.
Yeah, that sounds very good. Maybe you can put up on your website a list of these different things that need to be done, so people can look at that and maybe add to it or whatever. Get an organized list of some type that puts some frame and structure to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we got to do something because the storm is here, and we just haven't been told accurately by the.
Okay. Thank you for.
Hey, thank you. Aloha.
Bye.
Marcia, go ahead, and I'm going to change you.
I am so pleased with that last caller. He is absolutely right. Now, you said in the article that was on the front page of the paper last week that the legislature needed to do something, and you asked people to do it, so I did. Immediately, I called every legislator's office, every one of them, because that's what you said to do. I did not leave one of them out, so they can't pretend like, well, I didn't know. You know, that dog won't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want all your other listeners, because these are your listeners, are the kind of people that will pick up the phone and call, and on the state legislative webpage, everybody's telephone number is listed, everybody's email is there. I want everybody to call. It's important. And like your last caller said, we want them to show up at the hearing. How many legislative hearings have you gone to? Half the committee people aren't there.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out, and we'll just have to encourage people, and that's about the best way to approach it, and we'll see. But anyway, I wanted to, in the same vein, change the subject just slightly.
Okay.
It's something similar, and I wished I this is a letter. You know, we talked about the radiation that you put out, someone's ill at their home, or radiation that the refuge people, or the men are driving the trucks and women are driving the trucks, and they pick up some refuse that is contaminated with radioisotopes. Now, the city's solution to that, to reduce the exposure to the men and women that works for the city, was to put in Geiger counters. We'll just call them Geiger counters, or isotope detectors, or what have you. So they install them in the trucks, and what we found is that I'm going to read a letter right quick to a citizen, recently dated January 28, 2014. Thank you for your letter dated January 6 regarding your request for copies of all of the truck's maintenance and repair records on the installation of radiated isotope detectors under the Uniform Information Practice. All of our city refuse trucks' radiated isotope detectors are installed by the company that we buy the refuse trucks from 2000 to 2006. Since 2007, the city discontinued buying the refuse trucks with isotope detectors because the detectors were not detecting radioactive loads until the trash was dumped into the vehicle. It did not make sense to have radiated isotope detectors installed since its purpose was to detect a radioactive load before it was loaded into the refuse truck. In addition, the city refuse transfer stations, along with H-Power, have radiation isotope, radioactive load is detected. The refuse truck is isolated until it is decontaminated and inspected. Okay. What does that have to do with the water? Well, here are government officials assuring us they're taking our money, spending on detectors, installing them in the truck, so clearly we have a problem, and clearly it's human safety and environmental concerns. So why on earth would they discontinue buying because they weren't working? They told us they were working. They told us we don't have to worry about anything. But imagine being the workers now. You leave your yard to go service a route, and you spend 4 hours, and you pick up trash or refuse that has radioactive isotopes in it. Unknowingly, you put that in the truck, and you're standing on the back or in the cab driving, and you're being radiated. And you won't know until you go to the place to dump it, because the city officials found that they were not working. Who on earth, this is like Red Hill Tank Farm, they forgot, the state forgot to tell us that there's contaminants in the soil, and they tell us they're monitoring it, but reality is they're not monitoring it. They're letting the Navy monitor it, the person who pollutes, who allows the violator. It's like the policeman going up to a speeder and saying, here's a ticket book, I'll let you decide if you want to give yourself a ticket or not. So imagine these young men and women on the back of these trucks, and our city officials were spending money from 2000 to 2006, 6 years, buying radiated isotope detectors and placing them on trucks knowing they weren't working. And then, in turn, allow these men, they turn them off. Now, I got some documents where it says when they find them, they're contaminated. They say, well, we found the radiated isotopes on them, but the truck detector was turned off. It was functional, but turned off. Or it didn't have a detector. You see, this behavior. I don't like to call it a culture, because it's annoying behavior that people on top, who is there making money, making a salary, thinking they're protecting the boss rather than protecting the environment and the people.
Well, may I want your okay before I do this. I have an appointment with one of the union leaders from UPW, which is where the rubbish people, that's their union. And I would like to know if, with your permission...
Oh, I don't need to give you permission. Go ahead and do what you...
May I take that letter to show the documentation?
No, the union already knows this. These union guys won't even respond to people with the... they won't even respond. You could be called some horrendous names or receive racial discrimination or sexual harassment or all kind of bullying in the workplace, and these union guys might call you in 2 years. They are part of the problem. Okay. They are part of the problem. Unfortunately, some of them thinking that they're above this all and get to golf with the mayor or golf with the superintendent of something. But I want to share with them. So when you know that these trucks come in and need service, you too might be contaminated. So they know the letter exists.
Okay.
If you want to talk on behalf of the workers, they know the work, they know it happens, but I'm into the mode of hopefully I can assist this party in filing, getting a lawyer that would file a lawsuit, because her husband died and the doctor suspects, and so did the husband suspect, that it was a unique cancer, and it started from the radiated material exposure. And look at some of these reports. Some of the guys within 2 and 3 days were exposed a second time. And I am going through this list, and we're talking, I'm at 3 and 4 pages filled with exposure dates. But this is what, it's unfortunate. Here's one. This is what they tell you to do. The collection was not equipped with a radiation detection monitor. The truck was equipped with a non-operational radiation monitor. The truck radiator monitor was not working. These are reports now, city reports, produced by Gamma Corporation. So, there you go. How is it that, on one hand, we have a state agency that forgets to tell the public that there's contaminants in the water, even though they have the reports? And how is it that we get the city and county of Honolulu to buy radiation detectors and install them in the truck and know they weren't working, but tell the men they're working, and then finally decide to take them out and don't use them and still tell the men, okay, you go ahead and pick up the trash, but we'll know when you get ready to dump it, then the bells and whistles will go off, and then we'll know that you've been exposed. You follow that? Mm-hmm. See the commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't want to get stuck on Hanabusa and Danny Noy and anyone else. It's the system doesn't care about its people, and we are the people that vote for these, so we get what we vote for.
Well, I guess, at the base of this. As long as you have big money people, and those are the corporations that can fund these campaigns, that's what we're going to get.
Well,
they buy the politician and say, here's a, you know, $10,000 or $50,000, whatever, the big donors.
Well, you asked me about the union leaders. Let me just tell you. When Mufi Hanneman need 100 people to stand on the curb to wave a sign for the rail, right? They use union people. When Mufi Hanneman want to do this and do that and other politicians, they use the city lights. They use these men and women to wave their flags and stand out there and yell at them. And the reality is they pull the plug on them. They're on the back of the refuse trucks exposed to radiation. And I'm telling you, the list goes on and on and on with the exposure.
And that's exactly why we need to take a position strongly. And your audience, your people are the kind that will do that.
Yeah.
Not only, but on all of these issues.
Well, but again, in passing, you can say that to the leaders. But let me just get this call, and we're going to be, we got one more minute.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead. Good morning. Thank
you. Mr. Cox.
Yes.
Where is the source of these radioactive isotopes coming from the home that are tossed? Let me turn this off. That are being tossed into the garbage.
Well, let's say...
Aren't there federal laws that control the disposal of federal... for isotopes?
There is, but, you know, a family has someone that's being treated at home. You don't even have to be treated at home.
Give me an example. What radioisotope machinery or facility would be in the home that would be tossed out into the garbage?
Well, you get chemotherapy and you go to the bathroom and you have diapers and what have you, saliva that you, if you're a patient, or you went down and got something with radiated iodine as a patient to do some kind of study tracing your circulatory problems, anything, and then you discard it in the trash. But in what we did find,
I don't
one
understand,
huh?
This, but you say discard, what are you discarding?
Well, the just what I said, the wet diapers and other things. It could be whatever traces that could contaminate that you as a person, as a patient. But we also found in one of the documents a military, something associated with the military, a military amvent, something it was called, that was a problem that they found on the trucks. So it could be many of whatever, use your imagination, but the aircraft octant Mark IV. You know what our aircraft octant is?
No.
Okay, but they found that, and it was a 1940s era thing, and it had, the list goes on. So it could be from many sources, but the point is that they know it's there, it's generated some way, somehow, and then in turn the men are exposed. So that's the critical point. But anyway, that's about it, guys. And any other question real quick?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyway, that's it. Marcia, we're going to go, and we'll talk to you next week or the next time. And so anyway.
I'll be back at the legislature this week, and we'll make the rounds again to be sure.
All right, well, yeah, but...
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in, and this is the Carol Cox Show. This is, we'll see you next week, and hopefully didn't overwhelm you, but that's the way it is.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.